Thank you for that opening. The cool thing is, we're brothers and sisters, right? No matter I come from Moncrief or Brussels or whatever, I can tell you right now, I'm as ordinary as you are. Face the same things you face, and so that's kind of a cool thing to just to be able to share with you from my heart this morning. If it's really neat to see how God works, and if this morning we remembered the Lord and we talked about examining ourselves and looking at our hearts, and I would say that was a sermon preached already. That's what it was, and so I'll just kind of add to what it is here. We land in Luke 11 this week. Luke 11, and we're going to look at Luke 11, 37 to 54. And as I read through this passage, the Lord Jesus points out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes. And we can look at that and say, that's pretty clear. But as I read this passage and kept reading this passage, the Lord started speaking to my heart and saying, you know what? There's things here that might look one way on the outside, but the inside's a little different. And so that's the challenge to me this morning as I look at this, is I'm going to just share some thoughts and some practical things about hypocrisy, about our hearts, how we, to look at our hearts, to look within. And where are we at? Where am I at? And I'm not here to point fingers at you. I'm going to let God look after that. If God speaks to you about something, praise his name and listen to him. I'm not here to do that. I'm here just to tell you what God's word's saying. And we'll let God do the work. So let's read the passage, and then I'll just share a few thoughts from that. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him, that's Jesus, to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not washed, or first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather, give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allowed the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which is shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, if you've taken away the key of knowledge and enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. As we've read that together, obviously not a real easy passage to share from. Lots of woes. But as we go through the passage, let's just think about how the Lord rebuked them. How he said, this is what you're doing, but this is where your heart is. And he keeps doing those comparisons on a number of different things. And so we're going to look at those things. And as I do that, I want you to think into your heart and life. Lord, is there things here in this situation that is not right in my heart? And allow the Lord to work in our hearts as he's worked in my heart. Preceding this, the verses preceding what we've just read here, the Lord Jesus talked to the multitude and said, this is an evil generation. You know, I'm here among you, and you ask for a sign, but there's going to be no sign given but Jonah the prophet. And it says the queen of the south is going to rise up and condemn this generation because she came from afar to see the wisdom of Solomon. I'm right here among you. And he tells them how the people of Nineveh are going to come up in judgment against this nation because Jonah preached repentance and they repented. And here I am, the Son of Man, right before you, and you don't acknowledge it. And so he rebuked the generation, and this Pharisee invited him into his house. And the Lord Jesus took the opportunity to go into the house with him, to have a meal with him, which is a good thing. You see that numbers of times, how the Lord took opportunities that might not have been easy, but he took them. And that spoke to my heart, too. Just, you know, I don't know how you are, but it's just easy. If you have your own people you're comfortable with, that works really good. But if you're not so comfortable with someone, that gets difficult. And for the Lord, it wasn't difficult for him, but for us it is. And you know how that is. We're out of our comfort zone, and yeah, there's things, there's different differences. But he took the opportunity, and he used that opportunity to minister to them. And that was the first thing that came to my mind as I saw that. I thought, when those opportunities come, or look for those opportunities, take them so that you can be a light, a blessing to those who you can have that opportunity with. And as you share a meal, usually that's just a common thing. We all like to eat and enjoy food together, but there's things that come out with that. And I can just think of an example here just a number of months ago. And I don't go to Tim Hortons often, but Diane and I went to Tim Hortons, and we got a little bit tea because I don't know what we were doing. We were running somewhere. And right there was a trucker who picked up my cattle for years. He couldn't do it because of sickness. He had to stop. Him and his wife were there. And so we sat there, and they said, well, come on and join us. You know how that goes. But anyways, we did. We joined them. And we chatted away. Yeah, we've chatted in the barn and our rubber boots and all that sort of stuff. Now here we are dressed up a bit, chatting away. But as we got our meal, I said, I just want to pause for a moment just to give thanks. Not that I'm righteous, but just to give thanks. So we did that. But I'm just thinking, opportunities come where you can, I wasn't expecting it, but there it was. And so when you see those things, take them and just live life before them. And just live God before them, the Lord before them, and just be light that way. The Lord will use it in his own way. And so I just encourage you in that. Anyways, as he sat down to meet, the Pharisee was amazed that the Lord hadn't washed. Now, it wasn't that he hadn't washed his hands. He was talking about the ceremonial cleansing that the Jewish people did. And you can see that back in Matthew 23. There's a lot of comparable things that happen as well as happening here in Luke 11. It was the ceremonial cleansing that the Pharisee was really surprised. Like, why isn't he doing what we kind of, the rules we kind of made? Like, this is how you do stuff before you eat. And the Lord exposed his heart, and it's really neat how he brings it out, and we want to look at this. He exposes his heart attitude. So in the mind of the Pharisee, it was the outside. This is how we do it. This is how people see it. This is how it's done. But his heart was different, and we see that here. It says in verse 39, and now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. He pointed out the hypocrisy that was in this Pharisee's heart, or the Pharisee's heart. Inward was ravenous. It's the idea of a predator, it speaks of like a wolf that ravages for food. It speaks of wickedness. It speaks of greed, inward corruption. And he points to the Pharisee and says, you know what, you can make it look good on the outside. And we do that too. But what's the inside like? What's the heart like? That's what I want. And then he goes on to say in verse 40, you fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which was within also? In other words, he's saying, you know what? You can fool man and everybody around you, but you cannot fool God. You cannot fool God. I was made to think back to 1 Samuel when Samuel was looking at David and his family for kings, or the king to appoint the king, and he saw the oldest brother, and he said, "Oh, that's the one. There he is." And the Lord said, "No, no, no. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." And that's the challenge for us today, or for me anyway, what is my heart attitude? God sees it. He knows it. And I cannot hide it from him, nor should I want to hide it from him. I should want him to search it, to point it out, to walk with him in faith. The Lord knows both the inside and the out. David, I believe it was David in Psalm 139, says, ask the Lord, search me and know me. See if there's any wicked way within me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He was asking for the Lord to do that, searching for him. And that was a good point that was brought up this morning too, again, how, you know, God really is the one that points out to us by his Spirit things that are wrong in our lives. And we should ask him for that. Then he goes on and says here in verse 41, he says, "Rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you." And you can read that at face value right away quick and say, well, if I just give alms, then that means everything's clean. But that's not what he was saying. What he was saying is that, you know, if the inside is clean, then you can give alms. The Pharisees would have given alms different times. Giving alms is one thing, but to do it in a proper way is different. Alms is something that's sacrificial, it's humble, it's a righteous act in love to those in need. And Matthew 6 brings this out in detail, how it says, when you give your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Do it in secret so your Father in heaven, who knows all things, will reward you. And so the attitude needs to be right. And he says, once the inside is clean, then the outside action will happen in a proper way. And again, as I sit here, as I thought of these verses here, the challenge came to me about personal sanctification, personal purification. Lord, where is my heart at in different things? As I go through life, as I do business, as I work, as I meet people among my brothers and sisters here, where is my heart? What is it like? What are my attitudes? Do I know of any wrong attitudes? And to be open to that, for the Lord to show, because they creep in, they're there. I have not arrived yet. And I dare say you haven't either, but I know I haven't arrived yet. And so this thing's there, and you think, well, I got that conquered. And all of a sudden there's pride, or there's selfishness, or whatever it might be. And we need to be in close communion with the Lord to allow the Lord to speak to us and to change us and to change us from the inside out. And again, I put down here on my notes, is it important that we do that? It's important that we look within. And it is important. We looked at that this morning, how it is important that we look within and look to the Lord's, well, the number of things we can do is we look within, but one of them is to look into God's Word. God's Word purifies our hearts and purifies our lives if we allow it to speak to us. And we can read it and not allow it to speak to us, but if we allow it to work in our lives and say, yeah, that's truth. I'm going to take your word at what it says and by faith walk in it. That's truth. And so we need to take his word and to read it and to be in his word. Psalm 119 is one psalm that speaks a lot about the word of God. And I'll just read a few verses to you here. Psalm 119, you know them well. Wherewithal, or how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. In verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So as we look into our lives and where our hearts are at, it's important that we allow God's word to speak to us and to show us things in our life. Another one I put down here was to pray, to commune with God in prayer and ask him to show me where there is things that are not right. David cried out in Psalm 151 that the Lord would cleanse his heart, to really do a work in his life. And I trust that's each of our heart's attitude, that the Lord would really, we really want the Lord to work in our lives, to change us, to bring us more like his son. Also, just what we think on is so important. We can think on we think on something, but what do we think on? Do we think on, as in Philippians 4, verse 8, things that are true and right and honest? Or do we think on, that was nasty, how can I get him back? Or anything like that, or those wrong attitudes, those selfish attitudes, those things that just fester in our flesh. Our thought life is very, very important. And so those are things where we can allow the Lord to speak to us as we seek personal sanctification. Another thing I wrote down here, talked about alms and how out of a pure heart you're to give those alms, do those things. Am I willing to do acts of kindness out of pure heart for my brothers and sisters? So that comes down to the practical side of it here in our local assembly here. Am I willing to show acts of kindness and love to each other? Or as we heard this morning, do we just jaywalk? Just keep going. Yeah. And that is a prayer that I have, and I'm speaking to my heart here, but I really long to see us really grow in our love. Not that there's not love here, but that we would grow in our love for one another. I've been reading through 1 Corinthians just where Ron was there, just a bit before that, how it speaks about things sacrificed to idols, and says, you can know a lot of things, but knowledge brings pride. It puffs you up. But it said, charity edifies. And you need to have knowledge, you need to have truth. But if there's truth without love, there's a problem. But when there's love, you will sense it. You will sense it, because there's a care. A love cares for each other. And that's my prayer for here, that we would have a prayer where a care for one another, that we would just really love each other in a Christ-like way, that it would edify his people here. Christ exposed the Pharisees' heart attitude, and he's exposed some of my heart attitude as well. And I trust he'll speak to your heart if there's things there that need speaking to. In verse 42, he moves on to the next thing. He says, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. So they were tithing, and they were tithing to the smallest degree. And the Lord didn't condemn him for that. But what the problem here was, he says, this is what you're doing on the outside, but what you're neglecting on the inside is this. And the thing they were neglecting was they passed over judgment and the love of God. He says, these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. In other words, you should have had this as well. And we think of what is he talking about? What is justice? What is the love of God? What were they overlooking? The Pharisees, if we look back in Matthew, he pointed out how they oppressed the poor, how they took advantage of their position to gain. So they would gain from widows, they would gain from different circumstances because of the position they had. And so they overlooked the justice. They weren't fair. They thought, I have a position here where I can manipulate or take something for my gain, for my greed, and leave them high and dry or whatever. I can gain here. And that's what the Lord was pointing out. He said, you're overlooking justice. You're not acting right. You see things and you say, you know what? I'm going to turn a blind eye to it. I'm going to take advantage of that person. Oh, that we might have fairness and mercy and justice in our dealings. We think also of justice here. The Lord Jesus was right there in their lives, right before them. And yet in their hearts, they would not listen to him. And they were looking for ways to condemn him. And never was there a sin that came out of his life. Never. And yet, they overlooked justice and said, you know what? I can't point a finger on it, but we're going to nail that guy somewhere. And they overlooked the Lord Jesus himself, the holy, spotless Lamb of God. They overlooked justice to find fault in him. They unfairly tried to find fault. The love of God. They overlooked the love of God. And I thought of this in two ways. One would be showing this by their obedience to what they knew in the Word of God and walking in a communion with the Lord. And I think in our lives as well, that, you know, we can lack that love of God in the sense of, as we heard this morning, the slave was set free. And he didn't want to work, but because he was set free, he loved his master and said, I'll work for you the rest of my life. And just that we would walk in the love of God, knowing that his great love for us and what he's done for us, but also showing that love to others, showing the love of God to others, allowing God to work through our lives and his love to flow through us in gracious and humble ways. Do I do that? And if I do, how do I do that? Have you sensed the Lord using you in different ways? Do I care for my brothers and sisters or those around me? And we think of justice, we think, am I fair in my dealings with people? One of the things that really hurts me when I hear it, and I'm sure you've heard it too, is someone will say, well, you'll get talking to someone and he's talking about a spiritual conversation and say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. And that hurts me when I hear that, because obviously they've been hurt. And I'm not saying that they're wrong in what they're saying, because they have been hurt. Someone has said, this is what I'm saying, but this is how I'm going to treat you. And may that not be said of us, that we be honest and open. And in our dealings, as we have opportunity, things come to us, and do we say, you know what, I'm going to milk this for what it's worth, and I'm going to take advantage of this person because I can? Or am I fair in what I do and honest? And do they see that? That's really, really important in the world today, that we operate with that attitude of, I want to be just and fair and show God's love to others. And then I want to just bring up quickly about how we give. How do you give financially? I'm not talking just in giving and your time and that sort of thing, financially. And that's something we don't talk about a whole lot. And we're not here to, how would you say, ask for money. I'm not here to do that. That's between you and the Lord. He'll deal with that. But it talks about it here about tithing, and the Lord didn't condemn them. And so I'm just going to just quickly say a few things, and part of it's going to be my own personal opinion, but you can agree or disagree. That's I'm just going to put it out there. Is tithing a good practice? And we see it was in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It was put out there. This is how you tithe. This is what the Lord required. And personally, I say yes, tithing is a good practice. That's a good thing to obey and to do. Is it a command in the New Testament for giving? And this is where you might need to correct me, which is fine. I'm open to that. But I don't see it as a command in the New Testament for giving. I don't see it. I'm not saying it's not a good practice. I encourage you to do that. What I see in the New Testament is beyond tithing. Everything we have is from God. Everything. And we're stewards. And so I just want to point out a couple of scriptures really quick that just will tweak your thinking. And then we'll move on from that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it talks there about how the church in Macedonia, they gave out of their poverty. They had nothing hardly, but they gave above and beyond what they had. That was way more than a tithe. They gave till it hurt. And then in chapter 9, it talks there about, in verse 6, it says, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And it says, every man, according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. So what you purpose to determine for the Lord, how you've prospered, give it. And he says, don't give it grudgingly. There it comes down to the heart attitude in our giving, right, financially. Don't give it grudgingly because you got the arm twisted behind your back or whatever it is. It says, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So again, he comes back to the heart attitude here in Corinthians about how we could get tithe or we could give double tithe or whatever. That's not the point. The point is, it's all the Lord's. And he wants our hearts to be in tune with him and to give cheerfully. It's like, Lord, what a privilege to give and to give it. And we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 at the end there a little bit of a guideline there as well. And I'll just leave that with you and you guys can chew on it and maybe have convictions, and that's good. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection of the for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so I'll stop there. But the idea of weekly giving, weekly setting aside, as the Lord prospers, there it is, I want to give. And so I'll just leave those verses with you to think about in your giving. I'm not here soliciting funds. Please don't take it that way. Just that we don't talk about it a lot. And here it brings it up, and I want to just bring it to your thought because it's important. We're in stewards of God's whatever he gives us. So that's part of giving. But do it with a right heart, as their problem was they neglected things, and so their heart wasn't right. Moving on here to verse 43. The Pharisees loved the uppermost seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace, and he calls them hypocrites. He says, you guys are like graves. You're like sepulchres with dead men's bones in them. And the idea there is that when people came in contact with the grave, whether knowingly or unknowingly, they became defiled. It defiled them in a ceremonial way for a spiritual service. And their lives were, even though the Pharisees wanted recognition that wasn't theirs rightfully, he says, you want that, but that's what you want on the outside. But on the inside, you're like graves. You're like dead man's bones, and you're defiling people. If you look back into the scriptures here, and again, in Matthew, it talks about how they would have these certain things, these rituals that they made up. They had little boxes, I guess they call them, where they put certain verses in, and their boxes were made big so that people could see them. Their robes were, the hem of it was made big. So it was all a kind of a show, and so they would do this to be recognized. And yeah, you could say, well, come on, guys, why you do that for? But do we do it too? Now, we might not have the verse package and the whatever, but just think about it. Do we do it too? Yeah. And it wasn't theirs to be had. If we think of the attitude that should have been theirs, like, Lord, we just want to live for your glory. We want you to get the glory. It's not about me. It's about you. And I was thinking about that and how that's really, really important in as we live our lives, that we would do all for the glory of God. We would do it for him and not about us or me. And don't get me wrong, encouragement is important. We need to encourage each other and bless each other and help each other along that way. But in my heart attitude, do I want that for my glory, or do I want it for God, for Jesus, and for him to be honored and glorified and for his work to go ahead? And their problem was that they were like dead man's bones, and anyone that came in contact, they were defiling. They were keeping them from growing spiritually in a relationship with the Lord by faith. It was all about do. And the faith part was missing. And how we need to really have that in our lives. You know what? The truth is we do affect each other whether we like it or not. For good or bad, each one of us influences each other for good or bad. And so may we, by God's help and grace, live for him, that we affect each other for good and not detriment. Are my actions for man's praise or for God's praise? Well, the scribes and lawyers caught a wind of this as they were there as well. And they said, you know what? When you're saying all this to Jesus, you're rebuking us too. And he really zeroed in on the lawyers then. The lawyers were the ones who were the experts in just saying what the scriptures said. He says to them, this is what you do. He says, woe unto you. Because outwardly you have all the things in place and the demands in place. But inward, it's not that. And we'll see this in verse 47. It says, woe unto you, for you build. Oh, sorry, I want to back to 46. It's talking about the burdens they were placing on people. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. You can't handle it, actually, and you won't touch the burdens with one of your fingers. They were crushing people with their religious demands, and they couldn't actually do it, the demands themselves as well. The laws, the things that they had made up, the rules and regulations they had made were were crushing people in their spiritual journey and walk, and it was just draining them. What a difference it is when you think of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 11, he talks about how he says, "You come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that was not what was happening here. They were putting burdens on them that they could not do. How different it is when we come to Christ as our Savior. He gives us rest and peace. And I'm going to stop here and just ask that question. You know, we talk about outside actions, inside heart attitudes. We need the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you cannot please him. It says our righteousness are filthy rags. And just to recognize, if you're outside of Christ, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to recognize how lost you are. And I just say that in love, how lost you are without him, how you're in your sin, and how Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again, that you, by placing your faith and trust in him, might have eternal life. I thank God for the day that happened in my life. Man, I knew a lot of stuff. As far as I could tell you the gospel, I could preach it to you, but I didn't believe it. But God spoke to my heart one day, and I trusted him, and he changed my life. And I just trust everyone here has that joy of knowing that, Lord, you're my Savior, and I just love you for what you've done for me. I hope each one here has that joy. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, my prayer is that you will come to know him and allow him to work in your life. And he's come to bring joy that you might have it to the full. That's what he's brought it for. And that should radiate from our lives day by day. Sometimes I miss it. Anyways, they were putting demands on people, and they couldn't keep it themselves either. And the practical side of that is, I thought about that. Do I put my rules and standards on people and burden them with it? And we can go through a lot of rules. I'm not going to go there right now. And sometimes we make rules and standards for good reasons, too. Like, there's things that have happened in our lives, and we realize, you know what? That's just a temptation. I'm not going there. So there's the rule. Bang. Which is good. It's okay. But it's when we start to burden people down with, well, you can't do that, because the Lord will speak to you. The Lord will speak in your heart what rules you need, the places you need to set boundaries. And and it was mentioned this morning too, just the idea of how, the idea of forgiveness, and just how, you know, we can place standards on people. Say, well, no, I'm not going to forgive you till you come to this standard. But that's a rule, and in words of forgive us, Christ forgive. That doesn't mean as we forgive that it's everything's just hunky-dory, and the way you go with this, it takes time to build relationships and trust. I get that. But, you know, just beware of standards we place on others that just burden them down. Verse 47 to 51, we see here that he says, "Woe unto them, for you," and this is a kind of a tricky passage or tricky spot here, but I'll try to get the thought to you here. He says, "You build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. And truly you bear witness, or truly your lies speak forth, that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres." And the idea here is what they were building monuments to the sepulchres of the prophets that were killed, that their forefathers had killed. So the prophets would come, and they preach messages of repentance and turning back to God, and they'd say, "I don't want to hear that." Kill them. And so these people, at this time, were building these sepulchres, or building these monuments to them, or making a look on the outside that, no, these are the Old Testament prophets. But in their hearts, they had the same attitude. They would have done the same thing. That's what the Lord was pointing out to them. You're no different than your forefathers. You would have done the same thing. And he goes on to say how, that in verse 49, that in the wisdom of God, he said, "I'm going to send prophets and apostles, and some of them you'll slay and persecute." You're going to do the same thing, is what he's telling them. And because of that, it's going to come to accumulation here. And that blood is going to be required of this generation. This generation is going to get judged because of what's happened through the ages and the attitude of the heart right now. God in his wisdom knew their heart. And they would say, "Well, I'm not so sure about that." But as you think about the scriptures and what's saying here, what was their attitude toward the Lord Jesus, the greatest prophet that ever came? Were they listening? they were looking to find fault. He says, it is going to come. Judgment's going to be required of this generation. And it came. And they were judged. And the Savior died for us, that we might have life eternal. They were going to be held accountable and responsible for their attitude of rejection. And again, as someone here rejecting God's truths this morning, as they're presented here, as he speaks to you for salvation, perhaps, as I've mentioned, for sanctification. Maybe there's things in your life that you know are not right, but you're not willing to deal with it with God's help. Allow God to speak to you and ask him how to deal with that. In relationships, is there areas where God wants to work in your life? And in verse 52, lastly, he exposes him for taking away the key of knowledge. And yet, outwardly, they expressed loyalty to the scriptures. They were ones who knew the scriptures. They knew it. They could tell you all about it. And yet, they took away the key of knowledge. In verse 52, woe unto you lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge and not entered in yourselves. And them that were entering, you prevented or hindered. They were hindering others as well from entering, or who were trying to enter and discerning the truth of the Lord Jesus. As I said, they were loyal, or saying they were loyal to the scriptures, yet as the Messiah was right there before them and they saw it, they rejected it. And they took away that key that was there to open the door, to show people this is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this is the one who forgives sins, who's come. And they took that key away, they didn't go in themselves, and then they hindered others from coming in. That wasn't easy for the Pharisees or the scribes to take this message. They became hostile. And they looked for ways to trap the Lord Jesus so they might find fault with him, to kill him. And that shows to me their lack of taking that rebuke from the Lord, to humbly listen to him and honestly check their hearts. And as we wrap up here, again, this is a message spoken to my heart. I trust it speaks to your heart as well. But if God's speaking to you about things, allow him to speak to you. And allow him to search your heart. And ask him, Lord, how can you change me? How do you want to change me? Don't be like the Pharisees who become hostile and put your back up. That's the normal. That's a natural thing to do. That's how I often react when I'm corrected. The back, the hair in the back of my neck goes up, and you, often in correction, there's a lot of truth. Maybe not all of it, but often there's some. But to humbly take it, think about it. What is your heart attitude this morning? What's my heart attitude? Is it humble? Is it honest? Am I willing to listen? And that's the challenge for us today. May the Lord help us in it. And I should have said this at the first, but my title of this message is The Heart of the Matter is the Matter of the Heart. Jack Carell would have mentioned that, and that's how he talked often. And I just thought it's just so fitting. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So, do a heart checkup today. It's a good thing to do. Don't put your head in the sand. Check the heart. There's things there that need dealing with. Deal with it. Just as we do with our physical bodies, we get heart checkups. We have issues. We look to correct them. Maybe look to the Lord to help us in these things that, for his glory, we'll just live for him. So let's pray together. Lord, we pause before you, and these are difficult things to take into our hearts, Lord. Personally, I don't like being exposed. I don't like that. But Lord, it's important for our sanctification, for my sanctification, that we listen to your word to cleanse us and to work in our lives and our attitudes, my heart. So, gracious Father, as we're here this morning, just thank you for your spirit. And I pray that your spirit would do its work in our hearts and lives. And whatever is said that is not profitable, I just pray you take that out of our minds. And whatever is profitable, I pray your Holy Spirit would take it and use it. So bless your people here today and this week. And just again, thank you for Lord Jesus, your sacrifice for us, what you went through for us, that we might have freedom and forgiveness and a new life in Christ. Thank you for that. So bless your people here, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.